Thank you, Joan. Appreciate that tonight. Walk down memory lane. Great old choruses. Colossians chapter 4. A few months ago, we started looking at Colossians chapters 3 and 4. Particularly beginning with verse 1 of chapter 3 and down through verse 6 of chapter 4 is where we're going. But this entire section of Colossians is really dealing with what the life of one who's been crucified with Christ and risen with the life of Christ, what does that life look like? In a practical sense, what does that life look like? We're to put off certain things, we're to put on certain things, and then it even talks about what it looks like with reference to family life, what it looks like with reference to our work life. And as you come down to chapter 4, Paul, as we looked at last week, has some prayer requests for the Colossians. He wants them to pray for him, that a door would open for him to speak the mystery of Christ, to speak the gospel of Christ, and that when that door would open, that he would see it, that he would go through that door and speak. And as he would speak, he'd speak clearly, that he'd speak boldly, and that was his prayer request for the Colossians. And this evening we come to verse 5 of Colossians 4. Walk in wisdom toward them that are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Verse 5 is our walk, and verse 6 is our talk. Walk in wisdom and talk with grace. And we're only going to look at verse 5 this evening. We'll look the next Sunday at verse 6. But I just want you to see that connection. There's the walk in wisdom, and there's the talk with grace. And as we walk in wisdom, it's towards those that are outside, and part of that walking in wisdom is redeeming the time. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we want to walk in wisdom. We want to redeem the time. Help us to have a fuller understanding of what that means as we've come together tonight to study your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about wisdom. Importance of wisdom, the necessity of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. Now, I love the Proverbs. They're pretty straightforward, aren't they? Wisdom is the principal thing, so get it. And then he goes on later on in Proverbs, and he says, wisdom is more precious than rubies. He says, look for wisdom as for a treasure. So it's the principal thing, so he says, get it, and you better look for it and seek it like you would a treasure, like you would rubies, because it's more important than rubies and greater than treasure. And so here he says, walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom toward them that are outside. If you have the old King James, it's walk in wisdom toward them who are without. But the word outside, and it's a word that's used in Scripture on a number of occasions, to simply refer to the unbelieving world. Walk in wisdom toward the unbelievers. Walk in wisdom toward the world around you, that world of unbelievers, those who are not part of the Christian faith, those who are outside the Christian faith. Walk in wisdom toward them that are outside. So he's specifically dealing with not our walk among ourselves as believers, but our walk among the unbelievers in the world. He says we need wisdom. The word walk here is, it's the word peripateo. Pateo means to walk, peri means around. So literally it's walk around. But it's used in Scripture about our conduct, our behavior. So he says your conduct and your behavior among the unbelievers needs to be in wisdom. You need to have great wisdom as you conduct yourself and as you behave yourself among the unbelieving world. Before that unbelieving world, we need wisdom. I find it rather interesting as he says that before that unbelieving world, toward that unbelieving world. The word toward here is the word pros, and it comes from the word prosopon. Prosopon is the word for face. Pros, then, is the idea of coming toward someone face to face. And he says here, as we walk among the unbelievers, it is engaging with them, face to face with them. He's assuming that we are going to be among the unbelievers and that we are going to be engaged with them. Not like the monks who went off in a monastery someplace because they didn't want to be corrupted by the world. No, Paul's assuming that we're going to be face to face with unbelievers, that we're going to be walking around with them. He says to conduct yourself with great wisdom as you are engaged with the unbelievers. Obviously, the example of Christ, he was with unbelievers. He engaged with them. He was face to face with them, so much so that the Pharisees were accusing him of being a drunkard, because he would engage himself with unbelievers and with sinners. We need to follow the example of Christ. Christ said in John chapter 17, we are in the world, we're not of the world. Not to be like them, but we are to be with them in the world. We need wisdom. In what sense do we need wisdom as we walk and behave and conduct ourselves among the unbelievers? I'd say it's in two ways. First, we need wisdom so that we are not influenced by the world for evil. We need wisdom so that we are not influenced by the world for evil. But we also need wisdom so that we might influence the world for good. We need wisdom on both counts, that negative side so that we're not influenced by evil or for evil, but we also need wisdom so that we might influence the world for good. Let's look at that first one. We need wisdom so that we are not influenced by the world for evil. Christ said in Matthew chapter 10, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Christ said, being in the world as believers, among the unbelievers, is like a sheep in the midst of wolves. Now, I think we'd all agree that a sheep in the midst of wolves is going to need a lot of wisdom, or else he's going to be eaten for lunch. And in the same way, as believers in this unbelieving world, we need to have a lot of wisdom, or we're going to be eaten for lunch. As we consider that wisdom, where do we get that wisdom? Where does that wisdom come from? How can we keep ourselves from being influenced for evil as we are in this evil world among the unbelievers? You've heard us say this before, but there is the Word of God, there is the Spirit of God, and there are the people of God. We need all three. We need the Word of God, we need the Spirit of God, and we need the people of God. We need each other. Or if you like alliteration, we need the Scriptures, we need the Spirit, and we need the saints. Those three things. But keep your finger right here in Colossians and go with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We need the Word of God. If we're going to be kept from being influenced by the world for evil, we need the Word of God. Psalm 119, familiar verses. I just want to draw your attention to them very quickly. Verse 9. How shall a young man keep his way clean? By taking heed thereto according to your word. It's the Word of God that's going to keep us from the evil in this world. With my whole heart have I sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. That's the cry of one who understands how easily we can be influenced by that world. And he cries out Don't let me wander. He says, I'm going to seek You with my whole heart, God, and don't let me wander from Your commandments. That's humility. We need to have humility before the Word of God. Humility so that we will submit ourselves to that Word of God to keep us clean. And then, of course, verse 11, Your Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against You. We need to treasure God's Word. It needs to be like a treasure for us to seek that treasure daily. Sometimes we are very neglectful when it comes to the Word of God and reading the Word of God and studying the Word of God. We don't treat it like a treasure at all. If we're going to be ones who are not influenced by the world for evil, the Word of God has to be a treasure to us. And if it's a treasure, we're going to spend time in it. We're going to read it. We're going to want to be studying it. Blessed are You, O Lord. Teach me Your statutes. What a wonderful prayer. Lord, You need to teach me Your Word. We have the Holy Spirit to teach us that Word. With my lips have I declared all the ordinances of Your mouth. He says, teach me Your Word and let me proclaim Your Word. I have rejoiced in the way of Your testimonies as much as in all riches. Let me rejoice in Your Word. I will meditate on Your precepts and have respect unto Your ways. I will meditate on Your Word. I will respect Your Word. I will delight myself in Your statutes. I'll not forget Your Word. I'll delight in Your Word. I'll not forget Your Word. It's the Word of God that is necessary in all of our lives as we study it and as we read it, as we treasure it, so that we are not influenced by the evil around us. We need the Word of God. We need the Spirit of God. Galatians chapter 5 tells us, if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We need to be walking in the Spirit as we are walking amongst the unbelievers of this world. As we walk in the Spirit, how do we do that? Again, that's a whole series of messages, but let me just say it begins with humility. If we're lifted up with pride, we'll never walk in the Spirit. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Walking in the Spirit is about being yielded to the Spirit. Larry was mentioning earlier about being filled with the Spirit. That's all about humility. It's about submission. Again, in James, we read that God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. It all begins with humility. And as we humble ourselves before God, he bestows his grace upon us, and we draw near to God, and the devil will flee. Not because of us, but because of God, whom we have drawn near to. We need the Spirit of God in our lives to walk in Him in humility. And we need each other. We need the believers. We need to be an encouragement to one another. Hebrews chapter 10, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but encourage one another. He talks about stirring one another to love and to good works. We need each other. We need the encouragement of each other. And yes, we need the exhortation of each other. Sometimes we might be getting influenced by that world around us, and I need other believers to come to me and say, Don, what do you think you're doing? That's the wrong path. You're being influenced by evil. We need to have one another who are willing to encourage one another, to rebuke one another if necessary. We need that. We need the Scriptures, we need the Spirit, and we need the saints. If we're not going to be influenced by that unbelieving world around us, we need to have that humility. We also need wisdom, not only so that we're not influenced by the world around us for evil, but we need wisdom so that we might influence the world for good. In James chapter 3, you don't need to turn to it, we're really running out of time here, but in James chapter 3, we read, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The wisdom that's from above. We're talking about walking in wisdom. I need wisdom from above. What's that wisdom from above look like? Well, it's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's easy to be entreated. These are words that have to do with our relationship with others. Not just our relationship with other believers, but even our relationship with unbelievers. This is the wisdom we need. If I'm going to influence them for good, I need to be pure. That's just a word that means unmixed with evil. The world needs to see me as different than them. If I'm going to influence them for good. It needs to be peaceable is the next word. I need to be one who is pursuing peace with all men. As much as lies in me, live peaceably with all men. Not always trying to pick a fight, not always trying to find something to gripe about and to be against somebody, but to be peaceable with others. Gentle is the other word that's used here. Not always demanding my way, but being yielding to others. The word gentle here is even the idea of being yielding. Yield to others. Yield to their way, as opposed to demanding your way. Easy to be entreated. Do what others ask of you. Obviously not if it's sin or if it's wrong, but be willing to do what others ask of you. Easily entreated. Being helpful to others. Being merciful is the next word. Not always giving people what they deserve. Sometimes people will mistreat you. And you'll be tempted to give it right back to them because they deserve it. No. Wisdom from above doesn't give what people deserve. It's merciful. It's without partiality, it says. It doesn't show favoritism. It's without hypocrisy. It doesn't just put on an outward show. The unbelievers will see right through an outward show. This is wisdom from above, and if I'm going to influence the world around me for good, if I'm going to influence the unbeliever around me for good, this is the wisdom I need. You know, the world isn't getting any brighter. The world's getting darker. It should be easier for us as believers to shine brightly. Unfortunately, as the world gets darker, it seems that many times our light gets dimmer. You know, if you turn a flashlight on in the middle of the daytime, it doesn't make much of an impact. You can hardly see the light. But in a pitch dark room, you turn a flashlight on and it makes a huge difference. Well, guess what? The world is getting darker. It's not very bright out in the world today. We should be very bright in that dark world. This wisdom from above that'll shine brightly. I know I've told and I've mentioned this before, but I've told many teenagers, young adults who are just getting started in the work world. Some teenagers, you know, it might just be at McDonald's or Burger King, but they're just getting started. And I'll emphasize to them, you know, in this day and age, it doesn't take much to stand out. All you have to do is show up on time and do your job and you'll stand out. Because most of the world today, it doesn't seem like they do that. You can shine brightly if you just show up and do your job. Show up on time. You'll be managing the place within a few months if you do that. Because it's so different than the world. Back in Colossians 4, it says, walk in wisdom toward them that are outside, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Ex agorazo is the Greek word, redeeming. Agorazo means to buy or to purchase. Ek means out of. To purchase out of. It's referring to a purchase that is complete and full. You have completely purchased it out of the marketplace. And he's talking about purchasing completely our time. Or perhaps we could look at it more as the idea of the opportunities offered by time. In other words, what he's simply saying here is purchase completely every opportunity offered by time. Use your time wisely would be how we would put it today. Use your time wisely. Part of this walking in wisdom is using your time wisely. Buying up every opportunity that time offers you. And when he says that, it's in the It's in the middle voice. By middle voice, you remember from the past, that refers to the subject acting for himself. In other words, only you can redeem your time. Nobody else can do it for you. Only you can purchase the opportunities that time offers to you. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. We have to each do it for ourselves. I have my own time to purchase. You have your time to purchase. If you waste your time, I can't use it. If I waste my time, you can't use it. Each one of us have to redeem our own time. Each one of us have to buy up the opportunities that time offers us. And nobody else can do it for us. And that's why he uses the middle voice here. We each need to redeem our time. You know, I can buy other things for you. I probably won't, but I could. I could buy some other things for you, but I can't buy your time. I have my own. The opportunities offered by time for me, I have to take care of that. And you have to take care of yours. Redeeming the time. Ephesians 5, the passage we read earlier when it talked about redeeming the time, it adds that phrase, because the days are evil. As we see the wickedness around us waxing worse and worse, it is behooving us to even more so not to waste time, to make the most of our time, to buy up every opportunity that time offers us. Particularly, obviously, buying up every opportunity that we have to influence the world for good, to share the gospel with others, to have that wisdom from above, from James chapter 3, that's pure and peaceable and gentle and yielding, that kind of wisdom, so that we can indeed buy up the opportunities to influence those around us for good. You've heard it said, idle hands is the devil's workshop. In redeeming the time, buying up every opportunity that time offers us is one way that we will not be influenced by the world for evil. Idle hands is the devil's workshop. If we're wasting time, chances are we're going to get bored and we're going to start doing things with the world. But on the other hand, if we're buying up every opportunity God gives us, we're going to influence the world for good. So this part of walking in wisdom toward them that are outside has to do with this redeeming the time, buying up every opportunity that God gives us, so that we're not wasting time and being influenced for evil, but that we're using our time wisely and influence the world for good. Two great examples, and then I conclude. We have Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery, went down into Egypt, and he was alone as a believer. And yet, as he walked among the unbelieving world, he was shining brightly for his God. And he was able to do so, at least to a large extent, because he believed in the sovereignty of God. Remember, towards the end, after Jacob had passed away and his brothers were concerned that he was going to take vengeance on them, and he said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." He kept his focus upon the sovereignty of God as he walked among the unbelieving world, and he was not influenced for evil, but he influenced that world around him for good as he focused on the sovereignty of God. And then we have Daniel. Daniel focused on the authority of God in his life. The authority of God's Word. When he was taken captive and taken off into a foreign country and was living amongst the unbelieving world, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's food or with the wine which he drank. Purposed in his heart. Why? Because he understood the authority of God's Word in his life. And then later on in his life, when he was threatened with the lion's den, if he prayed to anyone other than the king, he went and prayed to his God just like he always had, because he understood the authority of God in his life and the authority of God's Word. And he was not influenced by the world around him, but he influenced the world around him for good. Joseph and Daniel, focusing on the sovereignty of God and the authority of God in their lives. That's walking in wisdom toward them that are outside, redeeming the time. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we're so grateful for the examples of Joseph and Daniel. Help us to imitate them. Help us to know truly what it means to walk in wisdom, to redeem the time, to humble ourselves under your authority, to humble ourselves under your sovereignty. Pray, Father, that we would have a worldview that is according to your word, so that we might influence that world around us for you. Help us to be ones who are buying up every opportunity that you give to us to share the gospel and to live a life that's pleasing to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Shall we stand? Father, indeed, we do leave this place this evening and we go to our workplace tomorrow amongst unbelievers. May we truly have a love for them. May we desire to see them come to know Christ as their Savior. May we see them grow in that faith. I pray, Father, that we would walk in wisdom toward them that are outside. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening. May God bless you.